about my journey about founding Aliento. I mean, I never even imagined that I wanted to found a nonprofit organization. But for me, it was really being able to see that the younger generations were facing the same issues that I was facing as a young kid, and I didn't want to see that.
Well, welcome to Learning From Experience, a podcast for college students and recent grads who want to hear directly from an alumni on how they've adjusted their lives post-graduation, including stories of personal success, career readiness, and tips for navigating the real world. Created by the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences at Arizona State University, I'm your host, Megan Finnerty, and today I'm talking with Raina Montoya. And she graduated from ASU in 2012 with degrees in political science and transborder studies. She also had a dance minor. After ASU, she went on to get a master's degree in secondary education. Throughout her career after ASU, she has engaged in advocacy work to advance justice for immigrant communities as the CEO and founder of Aliento. Thank you so much for coming on.
It is so great to meet you and see you, Megan.
So please tell me a little bit more about Aliento and the problems that it's working to solve.
Yes, so aliento, it's a word in Spanish that translates into breath. But when you give aliento to someone, it's like giving words of encouragement. So we're really at the intersections of education, mental health, and the arts through a systems level approach to really support the undocumented and mixed immigration status community, including our Dreamers and undocumented youth.
Wonderful. Well, when you started, what were problems that you were facing out in the real world that led you to this?
That's a great question. When I reflect about my journey about founding Aliento, I mean, I never even imagined that I wanted to found a nonprofit organization. What I really started, I actually started at ASU as a student organizer, really fighting for the DREAM Act. And at that moment, I was completely undocumented. I graduated as an undocumented student. We were pushing for a DREAM Act, which would have been a permanent solution and a pathway to citizenship for people like me. And then we weren't able to win that. So we pushed the Obama administration. We were able to organize and we got DACA, which is a temporary work permit program that protects me from deportation. And I'm able to work legally here in the U.S. There's approximately 600,000 people nationwide that are in my same shoes. So at that time, I always say that I was coming out of a high, right? I've graduated college. We want this like national policy change that had real impact on people's lives, including mine. And then we wanted to do more. And I kept finding all these barriers about seeing that organizations were more concerned about the brand, that I got the insider scoop about politics, that it was red versus blue and not really about solving problems. And I got really frustrated and concerned about what was going on. I was becoming jaded. I was only 23. I still have a great grandpa that is still alive. So I was like, oh boy, I can't be 23 and be jaded. So I have to do something about it. So long story short, I thought that, you know, maybe politics and this like social justice movement is not really for me. Maybe I don't have the stomach for it. So I decided to go into the classroom. I became a classroom teacher and I taught high school at a predominantly Latina a school where there were a lot of immigrant families. And I think that sometimes when you are surrounding yourself, even though they were challenges, with like-minded people that are trying to change this like pressing issues, sometimes you forget that there are people that are still facing the same issues you faced. So as being a classroom teacher, it was one of the most humbling experiences because I got to see students that still were facing the same barriers. They had to pay out-of-state tuition. They were still afraid about mom and dad getting deported. And that's when I became really angry. So anger was a motivating factor for me. But to really crystallize that for me, it was being able to see, yes, I graduated. I have 2 degrees from ASU, a minor. I have a master's. Then later on, I got into Harvard and got in an executive program. But for me, it was really being able to see that the younger generations were facing the same issues that I was facing as a young kid. And I didn't want to see that because that's something that we could have prevented. So I think that this is where really it came down to me. For me, it wasn't about founding this nonprofit organization, but it was really trying to be honest with myself and seeing that there were real problems that that real people were facing, and not because I was able to navigate the world in a different way. I had support systems. That means that everybody has that. And I was challenged by a dear friend and mentor to be like, Reina, she was like, it seems like you have a lot of criticisms. Why don't you do something about it? And I think that was the moment that I felt that I could put all my experiences from dancing to teaching to organizing to really put it forward and ask the community, is this something that we want to do?
I think it's so wonderful that you had that experience in the classroom to meet with different generations. It's so important for everybody. It's important for politicians. It's important for me or for people in the corporate world just to continuously be reminded of stages that other people are at in their lives. How did it go from then? You have this fired up anger, you have this insight to then form what you're going to now have today?
I think that every entrepreneurship journey is very different. I think for me it was, one, again, having that like internal driver about that things are not right and we can do something about it. But it also become very tactical as you're talking about steps. My friend and my mentor, what she actually did, she sent me a national fellowship where I could put my ideas and my thoughts into writing. I created a 6-page proposal. So shout out to ASU for helping us like create and really know how to communicate in writing and doing all that research. I was really challenged to put my idea into practice. So I created a 6-page proposal. I competed for this national fellowship that only like probably like 8 to 15 people get. Only one person since 1997 had ever gotten one in Arizona. So I just felt like, you know, I'm going to do it because yes, it's right. I have to think about what is possible and alternatives rather than just seeing what's not working in society. So I feel really committed to that, but I never imagined that after applying, flying to New York City where they paid for everything and I had to like present my idea in front of a panel of like 6 people to then being able to receive that award, that I think it really gave me the runway to think through from idea into implementation. For me, my approach was always very community-centered, not assuming that communities need help, but really understanding like being able to inquire and be like, this is a problem that I am witnessing through my lived experience, through my community organizing, through me being a classroom teacher. Is this something that you're seeing? What are the solutions that you want to see differently? So it was through a lot of like listening and conversations. And we have a little value at Aliento that we say we have to show versus tell. So I utilized my dance skills and I recruited a team member also, ASU alum who studies psychology and she sings as well. So it was like, you'll sing, I'll dance about our immigration experience and open up the door for a conversation with community. Our first event, we had 50 people in Phoenix. Then we replicated that and we had about 60 people in Mesa. So we had about like 100 plus people that were engaged in the early stage of Aliento to really being able to utilize art as a vehicle of healing, but also to really tap into the inner wisdom of impacted communities and be reminded that we are more than the challenges that we face. We're powerful. We have ideas. We're not only the storytellers, but the strategies of our lives. So those were some of the first foundational steps that I took. I mean, later on came up like the funding is going to run out. So we need a fundraising plan. Other steps that came was like, how do we build a team? 3, how do we reach communities that are still terrified of sharing their story of being impacted? And more challenges came as well, that the 2016 election completely changed our timeline and the need of providing mental health support for the communities, but also created an expedited timeline for action. So I wanted to do recommendations 18 months later. The reality was that DACA recipients were a threat of deportation because the DACA program was being litigated. The reality was that institution was being taken away from DACA recipients. And the reality was that a lot of our high school students no longer qualify for the DACA program because it had ended. So it really created a crisis about things that I I was personally passionate about, but me as a leader, it was really important to listen to the needs of our students and our young people and give them the tools for them to truly take ownership of their lives. And that's why we had to continue to reassess constantly. And that was an important step of the process and being able to find alternatives and pathways to victory.
It sounds like as a leader and in your experience so far, there are challenges that are endless. They are always coming, and having to navigate into the budget or even just having a team, and then obviously things that happen in policy. So in your experience so far as being the founder and CEO, how have you changed and how do you see yourself changing now with Alianto in the next couple of years?
That's a great question. We're coming out of a high because for the past 4 years, we were laser focused on providing more education opportunities for undocumented students and dreamers. And we won. There was the passage of Proposition 308, thanks to Arizona voters to siding with us. Now dreamers have an opportunity to go to higher ed and go to ASU or go to any institution of their choice, be able to pay in situation and have access to scholarships. And we are really being able to provide education more of as an equalizer for all our communities who are seeking opportunity. So then now what's next, right? We know that also the DACA program remains to be under threat. There is pending litigation, potentially end up at the Supreme Court in 2024, 2025. There is great that we won 308, but now our students and our communities need to know that that happened. So how do we make sure that there's not that disconnect? We're still facing that very low numbers of undocumented students that have any type of a higher education attainment, where we're looking at 4% compared to other communities. We're really, really low on attainments. When we're also looking at the Latino, Latinx community, only 22% of them have any type of associate's degree. So we need to do better. But at the same time, I feel that we're really grounded in the challenges that are up ahead. And we're also really grounded that on the wisdom of community, and that when we talk and train our students, they're so powerful. We have been taking on a yearly basis more than 300 students to the state capitol, where they get to educate their legislators. We are having mental health check-ins to continue to sustain our spirit as we continue to face the adversities of lives. I mean, I come from a lens around immigration or the lack of having immigration status, but our communities are also impacted like any others by the housing crisis, by the instabilities that we are seeing around inflation, by the prolonged impact of COVID-19 and the damage that it had on the spirit and the isolation that we all felt. And the grief that we still have to overcome, whether because we lost loved ones, unfortunately, or because we lost moments like high school prom or embracing each other during Christmas. So there's a lot of work to be done. And in my leadership, I think adaptability is going to be key. Being able to lead with humanity and with compassion while standing grounding that regardless of all the obstacles that we're facing, that we can make that choice of centering community and centering the collective impact rather than only seeing for our individual interests moving forward. And I think that that's where the real challenge is going to come. How do we make sure that we continue to center each other and that we are reminded that our livelihood, it is so connected to your well-being. Like, my well-being is dependent on your well-being, Megan, because we'll get to interact whether we see each other or not. And how are we reminded of that as we continue to grieve and as we continue to recover out of all the consequences that we're facing due to the pandemic?
The way that you've just described your leadership style is great advice for so many students who are listening to this and thinking, you know, how can I really tackle problems? How can I get involved with things that are going on in the real world? If students are interested in getting involved with you and Aliento, what would you encourage for them to do? Is there a best way for them to reach out?
Yes, for sure. Definitely visit our website and make sure you go through all our social media channels. So if you're on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, you can find us at Aliento AZ, like Arizona, or you can go to our website at alientoaz.org and you can sign up for our newsletter to making sure that you get plugged in. We have paid internship, paid fellowships. We have many, many ways that you can get involved. We also have volunteer opportunities, but also engaging and being a good ally, right? You might not be impacted by immigration and you might be asking, how does this impact me? Well, the reality is that it impacts all of us, whether we know it or not. So maybe you are in your early stage of trying to discover what can allyship look like for other vulnerable communities. So don't be afraid. You don't have to do it alone. You also can have fun while you're learning. We truly believe in that. So maybe you are really interested in our open mics that are open to the public to really start that journey of allyship, because it's going to take all of us to be able to solve these most pressing problems. From my lens, has been immigration, but also if you're passionate about climate change, what is happening with the recovery, education, just remember to surround yourself with like-minded people and be grounded in people's realities. And you don't have to do it alone. Come and learn with us, share your learnings, your expertise, your desires, and stay connected through Aliento AC. And also you can find us on LinkedIn if you are interested in job openings as well.
Well, thank you so much. I've loved having you on and just learning from your experience. You know, education and advocacy does not happen in a vacuum. We need others. So thank you so much for being on today. To hear more alumni advice, head to our episode page wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out the college's YouTube channel, or visit thecollege.asu.edu/LFE podcast. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Megan. Have a great day.
See you next time.